Let's go now to the Japanese whale hunt, which is again underway for the season. Yesterday, Federal Environment Minister Tony Burke refused to commit an Australian vessel to monitor the Japanese fleet in the Southern Ocean. This contrasts with Japan, which has poured millions of dollars into beefing up its security for this year's hunt. Next week, three Sea Shepherd vessels will leave Australian ports to play their part in shadowing the Japanese whalers. This year's hunt is against the backdrop of the drawn-out whaling case by Australia in the International Court of Justice. Don Rothwell is Professor of International Law at the Australian National University. Don, welcome to breakfast.
Morning, friend.
Don, what do we know about this increased Japanese security operation around its whaling fleet? There are reports of one or two vessels crewed by Coast Guard officers, which is not normally the case, is it?
No, that's certainly the case, Fran. It appears that certainly Japan has beefed up its security presence in an association with the whaling fleet for this particular season. In past years, there has been a security vessel that has from time to time been assigned to the fleet. But if the reports are true that this year we have two vessels shadowing the fleet and additioning Coast Guard personnel and additional mechanisms in place to deal with any activities of the Sea Shepherd, that does represent a significant enhancement of the security around the Japanese whaling fleet.
So that's your understanding of the role of these Coast Guard to beat off the Sea Shepherd, basically?
Yes, and I think that reflects the increasing irritation by the Japanese government and the Japanese whalers as to the disruptive activities of Sea Shepherd, and that's very much reflected in the comments made by Japanese government officials over the last year or so on these issues.
You've argued that Australia has its own dedicated customs vessel, the Ocean Protector. It was built for surveillance in the Southern Ocean. Yesterday, Tony Burke said there were no plans to use the Ocean Protector to monitor this year's whale hunt. Why would that be?
Well, look, the Ocean Protector is predominantly designed to deal with illegal fishing activities around the Australian sub-Antarctic islands of Heard and MacDonald Island and Macquarie Island. But it is clearly available to be tasked on an ad hoc basis to deal with the monitoring of whaling activities. And indeed, we need to recall that back in 2008, the Rudd government deployed the Oceanic Viking down to the Southern Ocean to monitor and to collect evidence of the Japanese whaling activities, which is now being used in the ICJ case. So this is not without precedent. And it also needs to be recalled that the Japanese whaling activities this season will be taking place within the Australian search and rescue zone. And given the previous clashes between Sea Shepherd and the Japanese whalers, I think there is an argument that there needs to be Australian assets on standby there in case there is a major maritime incident.
Well, also it might help calm things down, because if there is violence or confrontation during the whale hunt this year, does it increase the likelihood of a Japanese challenge to Australia's anti-whaling action in the International Court of Justice?
Well, look, I think that one of the concerns that Australia possibly faces here is that because of the increasing connection between Sea Shepherd and Australia, not only at a community level but also at a legal level, Australia runs the risk of being subject to legal allegations that it's not meeting its obligations under various maritime conventions to control the activities of the Sea Shepherd vessels. And thereby, if there was an Australian presence down there, I think Australia could say, well, look, we are trying to exercise some control over Sea Shepherd, and indeed, we might even seek to intervene if we find that an Australian flagged vessel, which is part of the Sea Shepherd fleet, is acting contrary to international law or Australian law.
Do you think it's incumbent on the Sea Shepherd vessels to understand that action from them to or any kind of aggressive action from them could put in doubt or could damage or hinder the claim by Australia in the International Criminal Court of Justice?
Well, yes, I entirely agree, and there doesn't seem to be a real appreciation on the part of Sea Shepherd that whilst they're continuing with their actions, and obviously that's very high profile and continuing to raise the issue of the Japanese whaling activity, it does cast a shadow of a doubt as to whether or not Australia's actions and Australia's involvement is really being compromised as a result of the actions of Sea Shepherd. And as I said, that arises because of the increasing connection between Sea Shepherd and Australia.
Mm. What's the state of play, Don, with Australia's whaling challenge in that International Court of Justice? Because Shadow Environment Minister Greg Hunt said yesterday the whole thing should be dumped and a new action launched in the International Tribunal on the Law of the Sea. What's your view?
Well, the case before the ICJ is working its way through the court's procedures, and at the moment that's really just relying upon Japan to submit its written memorials to the court, which is due for March 2012. Following that, it would be expected that Australia will submit further written documentation. But on the current timetable, it may not be until about 2014 that the case actually reaches the court for a hearing. That opens the door for Australia in the interim to go to the court and seek provisional measures, effectively a form of international injunction to stop the Japanese whaling program. But to date, the Gillard government seems to be very reluctant to go down that path. So to directly respond to Mr. Hunt's suggestion, I think with all due respect, it would be fairly extraordinary for Australia to suddenly bring to an end proceedings before the International Court and to adopt a completely contrary and different form of legal action. So I think Australia has really shown its hand here. It's going to pursue the case in the ICJ, and that's where it's going to continue to put its efforts.
And just briefly, Don, because news is almost upon us, $28.5 million of the tsunami relief funds have been used to bail out the Japanese whaling fleet this year. That's confirmed by the Japanese government. Is there anything illegal with those charitable funds being used to finance an industry like this?
I think that would be a question for Japanese law, Fran. It's not something that I think that in my expertise in international law I can clearly comment on, but as we know in Australia, if charitable funds are being improperly diverted, there may be an issue under Japanese law.
Don, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome, Fran.
Don Rothwell is Professor of International Law at the ANU College of Law.